Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we'll hear a debate between the two candidates for Congress from Nebraska's 2nd Congressional District, incumbent Republican Lee Terry, and his challenger, Democrat Tom White. This event is co-sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Greater Omaha and the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, October 14, 2010, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the candidates and do not necessarily represent those of the League of Women Voters, the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Kerr, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
We ask that during the debate you refrain from applause, shouts, whistles, etc., but you can do that now in welcoming the candidates, Tom White and Lee Terry. The debate will last for an hour. Each candidate will have 1 minute, 30 seconds to answer each question, and each candidate will get 30 seconds of rebuttal time. There will be 2 minute closing statements. The responses will be timed. So let's begin. First question goes to Lee Terry. Name an area where you disagree with your party and why.
Disagree with my party? Well, I probably disagree in a lot of areas, but I stand on my own principles, my conservative principles. So I'll give you one example. When we were in charge, up until 2006, was the spending bills. We had continuous discussion about the spending bills and appropriation bills, and I voted continuously to reduce them. So on the size of the spending and our budgets is one area that I disagreed with. When there came to extending programs, or not extending programs, but creating new programs, I always looked at those with suspicion and voted against them. My party also brought several acts to raise criminal laws from the local levels or the state levels to federal levels, and I had a consistent pattern of voting against them. And even in areas where probably all of us would agree on, for example, in classroom discipline and enforcement and safety, there was an attempt, a federal bill or a Republican bill, to in essence take all school safety away from local school boards and raise it to the federal level, and I voted against that with some criticism.
Tom White. Name an area where you disagree with your party and why.
Well, there are several that are prominent. First of all, I'm a pro-life Catholic. That is an area of deep disagreement with many of my friends, but we've agreed that neither of us should have litmus tests because there are other things that are very important to the country. I also am a gun owner. Many of my constituents, many of my supporters do not favor that, but I do. Finally, I am an actual fiscal conservative. In my political career, in my personal life, in my business life, we balance the budget. We always pay as we go. And I have fought for that, and I have been successful in that. I also don't like tax increases. In the legislature, during incredibly difficult times, we balanced the budget, provided the largest tax cut in the history of the state by getting rid of, among other things, the marriage penalty, and we did not, even when the economy crashed, go back and raise taxes. That is not the kind of behavior that either party in Washington really have exhibited. So I would tell you, fiscal conservative, pro-life, and that I, on many levels, as a civil rights attorney, am suspicious of government interfering in personal lives. I've seen that too much professionally.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
We have to deal with actions and not just words. And so when I look at the voting history of my opponent, what I see is on those times, like the 7 times that he voted against balancing the budget or the governor's vetoes, he voted 7 times to override that in a block of very partisan liberal state senators. Then in a special session that was called, a major portion of that would allow the state to balance its budget, 7 of the most liberal state senators banded together and opposed that.
Tom White, 30 seconds.
Well, actually, Congressman Terry, unlike the federal government, I oppose unfunded federal mandates. Many folks in this area are seeing their property taxes go up because of the item I actually fought against the governor on. We kept providing a huge tax increase for our tax break for out-of-state landowners. He wouldn't take that away, and I and other urban area senators fought because we knew, as the governors admitted, it would cause a property tax increase. And we're seeing that now. You can't just dump the federal the state budget onto property tax owners, and we opposed that.
Tom White, question for you, minute 30. The tax cuts approved by the Bush administration are set to expire at the end of the year. President Obama wants to extend the cuts, but only for those making less than $200,000 a year for individuals, $250,000 a year for married couples. Republicans in general want the cuts extended to all taxpayers. Should the wealthy be taxed at a higher rate than the middle class?
Well, I do support extending these tax cuts now because taking them away risks crashing the economy. We have far too many people desperately unemployed, and I am unwilling to increase taxes when we have a situation that could deepen a recession and continue it on. However, there's something more important. It's who do we tax and how do we tax? And therein is a great difference between Congressman Terry and myself. Congressman Terry recently opposed closing a tax loophole for corporations that ship jobs overseas. They close a factory, they get a big tax break, and then they make their goods in China and send them back here. We used the money from closing that tax loophole to keep teachers on the job. I strongly support that. Congressman Terry has aggressively sought tax breaks for the very wealthy corporations and individuals, but voted against extending the middle-class marriage penalty tax break. Now, that's the extension that keeps married people from paying more than two single people living in the same house would. These are not the kinds of tax breaks I support. We have a real problem in Washington. The tax code, with Congressman Terry's support, has been bent to support Wall Street, but not Middle America. I have always fought, that Middle America gets treated fairly under the tax code. We close loopholes, just as I fought to do in the last budget, so that the property taxes didn't have to go up in Millard and other areas in our district. We need to do that in Washington.
Lee Terry, same question for a minute 30.
Thank you. Well, I assume from the answer from my opponent, it's no, he would not support the extensions. The tax cuts of 01 and 03, let's go through them. First of all, it was all brackets. It was marriage penalty, eliminating the marriage penalty, which is already in existence, Tom. So when we extend these, we take care of what you said. There are a lot of small business deductions that are in there, and it's very interesting that Tom's commercial against me about so-called Wall Street, what he cites is the part that gives small businesses the right to accelerate depreciation, so they are incented to buy equipment. They buy equipment, that means manufacturing jobs, the machines are running and people are at work. But yet he seems to criticize me for that, and that's for small businesses. That means 92% of Omaha small businesses, Tom, will lose that deduction if you don't extend that. That means capital gains. That means that investment dollars are going to slow. Our economy's going to slow. So it will slow down our economy. It will become a drag if we don't extend these. Congressional Budget Office said if these aren't extended in toto, that we'll lose jobs. If we extend them, we'll create 1 million new jobs in 2011 and create 2 million jobs in 2012. So it's absolutely imperative that we extend these tax cuts.
Tom White, 30 seconds.
Well, Congressman Terry, I think you need to listen a little bit. I know I'm not a lobbyist, but understand I said I would extend the Bush area tax cuts. I would extend them. I have a problem, however, in that you have consistently supported tax breaks for the very wealthy and then called tax breaks for the middle class deficit spending. I want you to know, Congressman, that that is not right. You have voted, for example, in 03 to get rid of the tax extender for the marriage penalty at the same time giving huge tax breaks to Wall Street.
Lee Terry?
Well, you know, Tom, I voted all the time to eliminate the marriage penalty, and that's current law, and I want to keep it that way. It's interesting, though, because on the tax breaks that you say, if you want to talk about forcing businesses over to China, make sure that corporations or businesses and manufacturers have to pay higher taxes than other businesses or others. We need to look at our manufacturing base here in the United States and look at how to keep it, not running it out because they're paying higher taxes than others around the world. This is a global economy, for goodness sakes.
Lee Terry, question for you. Although it has been heavily criticized by the general public, many experts believe stimulus spending was a major factor in preventing the Great Recession from becoming another depression. Once again, please explain your positions on using that tool to revive the economy.
Well, first of all, the stimulus package that was one of the first major bills of the Obama administration, written by Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, took $800 billion with interest well over $1 trillion and invested that not in private business or the private sector or small business, but invested it in government and growing government, classic Keynesian economic policy. And what we have found is that stimulus package has been a complete failure. It has been a complete failure. It's been an example of the wasteful, frivolous spending that has now become inherent to Washington, D.C. under this congressional leadership, and it's something my opponent supports. Since stimulus has passed, we've lost 3.42 million jobs. Since it's passed, unemployment has gone up. Promised that it would stay at 8. It went to 10%, and it's dragged along at 9.6%. I think it's time that instead of creating government jobs in gray buildings in Washington, D.C., that we start focusing on policies that are going to create jobs on Main Street.
Tom White, same question on stimulus spending.
Well, first of all, Congressman, stimulus spending was one-third was tax cuts for the middle class. Now, why is it that when it's tax cuts for Wall Street, that's a tax break, but when it's tax cuts for the middle class, that's deficit spending? I want you to know that $350 million approximately went to 640,000 Nebraskans. $9 million a week went back into their pocket from part of the stimulus bill. The other part of the stimulus bill was entirely directed by Governor Heineman. I supported Governor Heineman's stimulus spending of that money. And if you have a criticism of how that money was spent, Congressman, you better take it up with the governor because he directed the expenditure of all stimulus funds in this state. So those are two points. But I would like to point out something more. We had a situation where the economy was completely crashed by ill-advised, long-term, reckless spending. Congressman Terry and the Republicans, while Congressman Terry was there, took the world's largest budget. We were looking at paying off the national debt, spent it all. Then they doubled the national debt, and they spent every penny of the Social Security Trust Fund, every penny. And now Congressman Terry acts like he's never seen any of these things. And yet he was there. He was at the wheel of the car throughout that time. Now, the stimulus package, was it always perfect? No. But in Nebraska, I can tell you, Governor Heineman directed the public spending. Everything else was tax breaks.
Lee Terry for 30 seconds.
Well, again, look at deeds, not words. When you look at my record, Tom, you know that I, just in the last 2 years, 83 times voted to reduce spending to the tune of about $7 trillion. When you look at the just the years before that, the last Republican budget that I was part of was 2006, and CBO said that that budget put us on a course to a balanced budget and over a 10-year period would actually have a surplus. Well, then the leadership that has been writing you a lot of checks took over, and we went to deficit spending, and now CBO is projecting that over the next 10 years or 8 years, it's going to be $8 trillion of deficit spending.
Tom White?
Well, let's take a look at that, Congressman. In 2006, the economy was still going strong, but because of the policies that you supported, including deregulation of Wall Street, they crashed the economy. The deficit exploded because of years of policies that you voted for. And also, Congressman, it is absolutely clear on the record that regularly you voted for budget-busting bills. You voted, for example, for the Bridge to Nowhere in the budget. Now, that is as wasteful an expenditure of public money as you can imagine.
New question. Tom White for a minute 30. It is said that a major reason the economy is not recovering faster is because many corporations, although very profitable, are just accumulating cash reserves and not using those profits to expand and create more jobs. What should be done, could be done, to encourage them to use that cash to expand and hire more workers?
Well, a number of things. First of all, one of the things that has recently been passed that Congressman Terry opposed is that we had a bill to get $30 billion available for loans to small businesses, $30 billion for small businesses, because many of the banks that have been major contributors to Congressman Terry took our bailout money, gave themselves bonuses, and then just bought other banks with what was left. And we have to stop that. Congressman Terry voted against loans for small businesses. Another thing that's happened that has been tolerated for years under Congressman Terry's watch is unfair trade practices. We are losing our industrial base to China and India because the trade that they have instituted under Congressman Terry's watch guaranteed that we would not get a fair shake in the marketplace. Our factories are being closed. Once again, General Electric just closed the last light bulb factory they have in the United States. They aren't going to build another factory here. They're going to build it in China. And the tax policies that have been supported for years by Congressman Terry are largely responsible for the loss of those American jobs and the destruction of those families.
Lee Terry for a minute 30.
Yeah, well, that's just not accurate. But let's look at how we create jobs. It's not by a stimulus that just grows government. It's by recognizing that jobs are created in the private sector. And yes, spending takes money away from the private sector, finite amount of dollars. So when there's competition between government and government gets to win, small businesses and businesses are going to lose. They aren't going to be able to create jobs. So how do we do this? First of all, we have to make a commitment to reducing spending and balancing the budget. That's why I have a history of spending cuts. My opponent has a voting record of opposing the governor's spending cuts. But it's also a balanced budget amendment. It's also recognizing that the taxes can't be raised on businesses, especially at a time of a slowdown. Taking more money away from them is going to just increase joblessness at a time we need to be creating jobs. But we also have to make sure, that our kids are receiving the right type of education to be competitive in a global environment. We've got to make sure. That GE light bulb plant is moving because of government regulations, EPA regulations, and government interference and cost of doing business, which is why we have to look at our tax and our regulatory schemes to make sure that businesses want to work here in the United States. And frankly, the rhetoric that I'm hearing is so anti-business, no wonder they don't want to do business in the United States anymore, Tom.
Tom, 30 seconds.
Well, actually, Congressman, let's do look at what we actually have done. First on spending, you came into a Congress with record surpluses while your party was in charge, while your party had the president. You not only blew the surpluses, you doubled the national debt, and then you spent the entire Social Security Trust Fund. That's the record. Every year that I was in the legislature, we balanced the budget. The difference I had with the governor is I don't think it's honest to have unfunded mandates. It's not fair to balance the state budget saying we did our job, but really dump tax increases onto local school districts.
Lee, 30 seconds.
It's interesting you keep coming back to unfunded mandates. You support the biggest unfunded mandate on state government with the national health care bill. That mandates onto the state governments, and this is how the numbers and true costs of that health care bill are truly hidden, is it shifts responsibilities to cover people to states and mandates on them. The study that the state of Nebraska did shows it could be $500 to $700 billion over a period of time, but yet you support that bill.
New question, Lee Terry. The deficit and the national debt are at record levels. Polls indicate this problem is one of the things voters are most concerned about. Laying aside the argument over who is to blame, how would you address this problem going forward? And please don't say this can be done by cutting government waste. We're talking trillions of dollars here.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it takes discipline in getting rid of politics. So let's look at how we do that. First of all, the politics comes in when you say, well, my interest group, my people or whatever, you know, I want to make sure I'm dedicated to education or I'm dedicated to the environment or I'm dedicated to defense. What we have to do is make sure that there are no sacred cows. If we're going to be serious about reducing spending in the discretionary side, the part that Congress actually has control over, we have to do an across-the-board cut. That's just the fairest way. You can't say, like my opponent did in the state legislature, where, no, you can't cut education or you can't do this. That was the subject of the one that he voted against the governor and wouldn't have balanced the budget because he was protecting one of his personal interests. You can't do that. The other is we have to have institutional control in there, and that's going to be a balanced budget amendment. We have to change our Constitution just like the state of Nebraska does. If you don't have that requirement, it's just too easy to say, hey, you're right, I'm going to spend money on your behalf, and there's nothing that says they have to make tough decisions in doing that.
Tom White for a minute 30.
Thank you. Well, first of all, Congressman, Congress did balance the budget. For years they'd balanced the budget before you got there. And then when you and your party got in power, you lost the will to keep the budget balanced. And there are ways that we can balance the budget. One of the ways is we have to get absolutely free from imported oil. The Cato Institute, a very conservative group, says it costs us $3 for every gallon of gasoline we burn to protect the sea lane so we can keep importing foreign oil, which destroys our economy. Congressman, you've been on the Energy and Commerce Committee for 12 years. By the way, you had promised only to serve six, but you've been there for 12 years. And we haven't made a step in Nebraska like other states, Iowa, Texas, the Dakotas, to develop wind and alternative energies. We have to do that, and when we do that, we can reduce our expenditures on things like protecting oil that we have to import. But beyond that, Congressman, a 10% cut across the board isn't fair. And it isn't fair to dump unfunded federal mandates or unfunded state mandates. You're right. I really care about property owners and homeowners and how much they're paying in property taxes. And I fight for them. I'm not ashamed of fighting for them. And what I wasn't going to do, which is what the governor's bill proposed, is balance the budget on their backs while Ted Turner got huge, unfair tax breaks. I wanted to take away those tax breaks and then balance the budget without increasing taxes on homeowners.
Well, it's interesting because the governor said that wouldn't have transferred any dollars to property tax owners. And let's deal in facts. In 2006, the last time the Republicans were in charge of a budget, they wrote one that would balance the budget. Since Pelosi has been in there, we've seen nothing but record deficits. In fact, we haven't even seen budgets. You talk about discipline, my goodness. Pelosi, in 4 years in there, has had two budgets. There's no budget right now, but we have a $1.5 trillion deficit.
Tom White, 30 seconds.
Well, Congressman, the economy crashed under the Republican watch, and receipts dropped. What we have to do to close this budget gap is close unfair, big, powerful oil company and banks, unfair tax loopholes. And you have taken money from those institutions, and you voted to protect them. We have to end that kind of favoritism for the rich and powerful. That will help close the budget gap immediately.
Tom White, new question, health care reform. There are three views: keep what was passed by Congress, scrap the whole thing and keep what we had before, or start over keeping only the good parts of the new law that everybody likes. Mm-hmm. The problem is the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says the law as passed is revenue neutral. And if you only keep the good parts, the cost of the program will balloon out of sight, adding to an already record deficit. What should be done?
Well, first of all, we can't go backwards. We didn't get it done right the first time starting from scratch. We have to fix it. It has to deliver health care at an affordable level. I want you to know personally, at the age of 39, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer. I'm 53. My chances of survival are superb because of great medical care. But I also have a small law firm. I went through every nightmare you can imagine in the insurance process, trying to protect my employees, trying to protect my family. At one point, the best thing I could do was get out of their insurance pool to help them. We cannot go back to the days where people run into caps, seniors, and they're thrown off the policies that they paid for years. We cannot go back to the days where children who have pre-existing conditions are denied coverage. What we can and should do is take on the vested powerful interest to control costs. We have the most expensive healthcare system in the world, and we are 48th in the world in child infant mortality. 48th. Cuba does better. What we can do, we have to take on the pharmaceutical companies, which Mr. Terry, Congressman Terry, has taken money from. Why do you pay many times more for Lipitor and high blood pressure medicine than they do in Canada or Mexico when those drugs were invented and manufactured here? Because of political special interests. There are cost control things that we can do and we need to do, but that means you have to have the courage to take on the very wealthy, very powerful lobbying interest in Washington. We have to control costs. That's what we must do and deliver health care for every American family and their doctor without interference from bureaucrats.
Lee Terry for a minute 30.
It would have been great if the national health care reform bill even looked at ways of controlling costs. That's what the people wanted from a reform bill, was to look at it, do reforms, lower the costs, make sure it's more accessible to people, but I think it failed in that respect. The question was couched more in the costs and said it was budget neutral. The reality is the CBO reports since then have said that it's at least $50 billion that's going to the national deficit. $500 billion of that is being taken out of Medicare and transferred to this new program. So that's one way they deal with it. They deal with it another way of raising billions of dollars on small businesses by making them file frivolous 1099 forms. This is a huge mandate on small businesses that's going to be extremely costly to them. And by the way, the federal government gets to mandate to the businesses what they get to have. You mandate something onto individuals. And the taxpayers at the end are stuck with the bill, especially small businesses. So if we want to create jobs and certainty, we have to undo this bill and we have to replace it like the one I wrote based off of what we receive as federal employees. And that's where you can join a large pool where the rates are going to be 60% less than what you would get as an individual in a small law firm, which I had one too. And that's a way that we can provide access. And then we deal with the incredible cost infrastructure here, and we can lower costs for people. We get tens of millions of people access without $1.2 trillion on the taxpayers' backs.
Tom White, 30 seconds.
Well, Congressman, for the last 12 years, while I've been facing, and everyone in this room have been facing, 20 to 25% year-over-year increases in our premiums, 70% of your insurance has been paid by taxpayers. The problem with your plan, Congressman, is this. 70% of your insurance bills paid by the taxpayers, and almost no middle-class American can afford to pay 100% of what even your premiums would be, because the government won't step in and pay that 70%. We can't do that.
Lee, so you're saying that the government should be paying 70% of every premium.
Actually,
what
no,
I'm saying is that this is a plan that I think we have good insurance. I think everybody should come into the pool and get it. It will have for individuals lower their out-of-pocket costs by at least 60%. Then we look at the cost infrastructure. That's what the proper reforms are. That's what people were looking for. Not a let's spend all suspend all the rules, ram it down your throat, corrupt way of passing this bill.
New question. Lee Terry, and we touched on this briefly. Because of government regulations in Western Europe, medications there cost a fraction of what they cost in the U.S. Do you agree with the free market policy in the U.S. that has created this discrepancy?
Yes, I certainly do. I think that's probably one of the major differences between me and my opponent is the trust of the private sector and individuals when they're empowered to succeed versus the power of government. So when you look at the prices of prescription drugs in Europe, there's a reason why very little manufacturing of prescription drugs are done in Europe. Very little, if any, research is done in Europe. That's because they set the prices under socialized medicine so low that, unfortunately, they are transferring the cost onto others by doing that. Canada, you mentioned Canada. They have a similar system where they set the prices of the drugs and underwrite the costs. So when someone walks into a drugstore in Canada, not only is it by agreement, a price agreement set by the government, but then the government subsidizes that even more. Now, there's a reason why the prescription drugs are research and development are in the United States, and that's because of the socialized medicine in other countries. And I worry that if we start adopting the socialized practices that I think are inherent into the Obamacare bill, that we won't see new drugs coming to the market that are going to save people's lives. And I want to make sure those drugs are available. And I have supported programs that make them more affordable and accessible to the public and to lower income people.
Tom White for a minute 30.
Well, thank you, Congressman. That was candor. We as a country can no longer subsidize the entire world on research and development of drugs. We can't do it. Congressman Terry's talked about our deficits, our national deficits, the number of Americans who are uninsured, who can't afford pharmaceuticals. The fastest inflating part of the health care costs in this country are pharmaceuticals. We are paying many times more for the very same drug in Canada or Germany. And, you know, as a cancer survivor, believe me, I want new drugs. Believe me, I want new drugs. But it doesn't do us any good if the vast majority of Americans can't afford them. They can't even afford them. And Congressman Terry, here's what's not quite fair. You have taken tens of thousands of dollars from pharmaceutical companies, and they make outsized, unfair profits on the Americans, especially our senior citizens, who are hard-pressed, even while cutting deals where they still make profits in Germany, Mexico, Canada. That's just wrong. If you're serious about controlling the deficit, if you're serious about controlling the cost of health care, you have to have the backbone to look big pharmaceutical companies in the eye and say, we're not your chump anymore. We're going to pay our fair share, and so is the rest of the world.
Right. Lee, well, Terry, 30
I'm going to look the socialized medicine in the eyes and say, not this. Sorry, Tom, but this is about private sector. I mean, the chumps are the ones that are going to sit here and say government needs to come in and set the prices like my opponent just did. He wants the government to pay more for prescription drugs, but yet I'm trying to find free market ways like bringing generics to the market sooner. That's what I fought for and have accomplished. But you want the government to step in, set prices, and subsidize, and in the same sentence have the gall to talk about national deficits. That's the type of words versus action that we need to look at during this debate.
Tom White?
Actually, Congressman, I didn't say the government should set the prices. I just said we shouldn't.
That's how the other countries
I just said we shouldn't be treated much worse than Mexico or Canada. And I ask any American to go to Canada and go into a pharmacy. Compare, I take Lipitor. Compare your Lipitor to theirs and what you're paying. Compare it, your high blood pressure in Mexico. And then ask yourself, why don't we have the right to the same prices, no higher, no lower, than the countries that the pharmacies are selling their drugs to? I'm tired of being taken advantage of.
New question. This is for Tom White, minute 30. Illegal immigration, as we are all aware, the state of Arizona, in the city of Fremont, Nebraska, just down the road from Omaha, have taken a hard line on dealing with illegal immigrants. Do you support such laws, and why or why not? And a second part to this question, if you could deal with it, how do you address the backlog for processing immigrants that want to come into this country legally?
Well, 2 points. One of the first bills I introduced at the legislature was to hold corporations that are knowingly encouraging, transporting, and employing people here illegally. They then dump huge amounts of costs, social costs, from employing those folks onto our privates, onto the public sector. For example, the cost of educating a child from South America who's never been in school and does not speak English is extraordinarily high. And yet there have been corporations knowingly encouraging and bringing these people here, paying them substandard wages, and then dumping those costs and others on the taxpayers here. I introduced a bill to say that we can sue them to recover all the public costs if we can prove they were knowing or reckless in hiring illegal workers. I want to solve the problem. Congressman Terry, on the other hand, has a very different record of voting. Congressman Terry voted to drop the penalties for employers, big corporations, that hire illegal immigrants to a level that makes it laughable, far more profitable to break the law and pay the fine than to actually obey the law. And that is a huge difference. I want to hold the corporations that have caused these problems responsible. I want to stop the problem at its source. These are desperate people that come here for jobs, and there are people who are taking advantage of that. Congressman Fortenberry had it right. Congressman Fortenberry said, throw a couple of CEOs in jail for hiring illegal immigrants, and the problem will go away. And that has been exactly what Congressman Terry has not done. He will protect the corporations. I will hold them accountable.
Lee Terry for a minute 30.
Appreciate the opportunity to address an important issue to not only our community, but the United States. When we have an unemployment rate of 9.6 and so many people out of jobs, we have to make sure that we're growing our economy and getting those people back to work. Our borders need to be controlled. Any immigration policy starts with border control and security, and using the technology and the human resources that are available to slow down and stop the illegal immigration through all of our ports of entry and all of our borders. We didn't see that with President Bush, and we're certainly not seeing that movement in this current administration. The second prong of this is employers. We have to enforce the laws on employers. There are fines, significant fines, and I have voted to increase that. We also have to provide them the availability to find out if that person is a legal resident or alien through a credible, reliable E-Verify system or a biometric system where that employer knows. If they don't use then that system, we should crack down on them. They should be thrown in jail. In fact, that happened in Iowa, and I supported that effort.
Tom White, 30 seconds.
Congressman Terry's right. With terrorism, with drug dealing, we need to secure our borders. Absolutely. No question about that. But what Congressman Terry isn't saying is that he acts as though he just came to the party. For 12 years, our borders have been Swiss cheese. And Congressman Terry, your party, was in control of the House, was in control of the Senate, had the presidency, and did nothing. And one of the reasons is, again, entrenched, powerful lobby interests. They want cheap labor, and they don't like a solution.
Lee Terry?
Oh, that's awesome. The reality, Tom, is that me and my colleagues on the Republican side fought hard for border security and an E-Verify system. And we not only sent bills to the President of the United States, but increased the spending so he could put more security along the borders. And it wasn't until the last couple years where there was actually a Republican revolt in Congress where the President even started putting new security agents. So when we get back to one of our first questions, that's one of the areas I disagreed with the past president is on border security. So my record's solid on making sure that the appropriate immigration plan was put in place.
New question. Lee Terry, the war in Afghanistan, Congress controls the purse strings. One view is that it is time to get out. Another view, we've got to stay there until the job is done. And if that's your view, what do you mean by getting the job done?
Well, I appreciate that. The job getting done, and I do fall into that category, Gary. I think if we're going to make a commitment to Afghanistan, the job is to make sure that they have a non-terrorist-based government that is solid enough to sustain itself in the future, be able to defend itself from terrorists, whether it's al-Qaeda, factions of the al-Qaeda, or Taliban, or factions of the Taliban. They have to be able to provide their own security. This isn't democratization in essence, but it is empowering people and empowering that country. So we have to train them militarily. We have to defend them while we're in that process. We have to also make sure that on the humanitarian side of building schools, setting up education, setting up hospitals, doing the right things for the Afghan people, and we're doing that right now. So I have supported the President of the United States in sending 30,000 new troops there. I hope that's a sufficient number to accomplish this. There's a new question of whether there's a Solomon approach where the President just threw out a number. I hope that's one that's reasonably based. And my hope is that they will be in a position like Iraq is now where they can handle their own security by next summer and that we can start bringing our combat troops home.
Tom White for a minute 30.
First of all, I want every person here to know that I stand firmly for this proposition. If you kill an American citizen, there is no place in the world, there's no place in the universe you can hide. We will hunt you down. You cannot kill Americans with impunity, and I don't care who you are. On the other hand, once we got handled in Afghanistan, we also had Iraq. Now they're looking that Somalia is becoming the new base for al-Qaeda. And Yemen, and other third world countries. We cannot afford to keep doing, quote, the right thing by the people of Afghanistan when we're not doing the right thing for the people here at home. We can't rebuild other countries as our country's infrastructure comes apart. We cannot seriously say we're going to go after al-Qaeda and rebuild every country that they go to and have a base of operations. Congressman Terry spent the entire Social Security Trust Fund to pursue this war. We ran this war on a credit card. It has devastated our economy, and we are now, Congressman Terry is talking about how, well, we may have to break various promises we made to our seniors on Social Security because of a war. We can't do that. In my view, the American people come first. We will always protect them, but I will not rebuild nations. Medieval Muslim nations at the cost of our citizens at home. I will not let people who kill Americans go free, however.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
Well, I have the same problem I have on many of Tom's answer. Does he or doesn't he? If you say you're going to go after terrorists, then that's what we're doing now, Tom. You say you don't support that effort then. But, you know, if this doesn't qualify as going after terrorists, after the Taliban and al-Qaeda that we're engaged with killed 3,000 people in New York, American citizens in embassies around the world, and the USS Cole, when do you go after them? And I'll tell you what, if there's terrorists that are setting up camps to attack American citizens in Yemen or Somalia, yeah, let's go get them.
Tom White, 30 seconds.
Well, Congressman, here's the problem. In saying we're going after terrorists in Afghanistan, it is well documented that President Karzai and almost all of his allies have embezzled billions of dollars of our money. They now own homes on the coast. The corruption in Iraq is staggering. The amount of money that has been taken from the American taxpayer and diverted, not to help people in Afghanistan, but to enrich corrupt tribal leaders. We can't continue to do that. We have to instead say, simply, we're going to build America first, and we're going to hunt down anybody who hurts Americans.
New question. This is for Tom White. First, what should be the role of the federal government in local education?
Federal government should help fund and enable local education, but local education needs to be controlled locally. Every community has different problems. The problems even that the folks in Millard face are very different than the problems faced in Southeast Omaha or Northeast Omaha. What we need is not one big monolithic national policy. What we need are the resources given to our teachers in the classroom and to the school boards to fashion policies that work for their particular problems and in their particular situations. There is no question we have a real challenge on educating our children, and nobody has been able to figure out one magic bullet that will solve them. The worst thing we can do is say that the only good ideas are going to come out of Washington. The best thing we can do is admit we have huge problems, huge challenges, allow the diversity of America to go to work, all those different ideas, take the best ideas we can find from across the country and use them to re-energize our schools. This is incredibly important, and this is where Congressman Terry and I are very different. Again, I would have voted to close tax loopholes for shutting down factories in America and shipping it to China. That money kept 1,100 Nebraska teachers on the job. Congressman Terry voted against it.
Lee Terry for a minute 30.
Well, educating our young people is one of, I think, our community's primary responsibilities. The future of our country depends on it. We should be embarrassed as a nation that we rank 26th out of industrialized nation on our graduating seniors, 12th graders graduating. 26th in the nation in math and science. For God's sakes, this is a global technology driven by technology and data. We're setting our sons and daughters up for failure if we don't take control of our education system. So, yes, federal government can have an overall role. Here's our national needs. We need more students with higher levels of math, science, and technology to remain economically competitive in the future. And if we can do that, and they can have jobs here, and yes, Tom, I voted against taxing increasing taxes on corporations, so they won't leave the United States. You have a completely opposite view of taxes. I don't understand why you want to tax corporations out of the United States when I'm trying to ensure that my sons, when they're adults, don't have to go to China to be an engineer, that they'll have jobs here in the United States. I wrote a reform bill to Title I that would empower local communities and cut the federal ties, leaving the options to the local leaders on how best to spend those dollars.
Tom White for 30 seconds.
Congressman, you'll be happy to know that I actually got a bill passed, one of 14 I got passed in my 4 years in the legislature, that gives the largest tax incentive to business for doing research and development on any property owned by any college or university located in the state of Nebraska. And I did that because we are losing our best and brightest. We do far better than the nation in educating our children. And they leave us. They leave us. And I actually took that bull by the horns and got it passed in a very tough budget environment. Count up how much we spend on each child's education, and when they walk away to Texas or California or New York, look at what we've lost, not just our children, but our investments.
Lee Terry?
Well, Tom, I appreciate your dedication in that respect, but your votes, when we've tried to balance the budget, you've said that your sacred cow will be the state education funds, that's untouchable. If you need to be a fiscally responsible, I think you have to look at making it more efficient, just not more expensive. And one of the areas, if we really have to make an emphasis on math, science, and technology, one of the things that I would suggest that you would have worked on is to make sure we have better math, science, and technology teachers in our high schools, which means that maybe a different pay scale outside of the union contract. And by the way, I understand you've gotten a lot of money from the teacher unions, too.
And how are the firefighters treating you, Congressman?
I haven't gotten any money from our Nebraska.
No, the international union.
Okay.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. It is time now for the two-minute closing statements. As a result of a coin toss, Tom White, you will be first.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're at a real turning point, not just for our town, our state, but also for our country, and in some senses, the world. We have a profound problem. Washington is incredibly broken, And it remains broken because there are people who are making enormous profits from its dysfunction. But you are paying the price. You are paying the price. The thing that America was most known for throughout the 20th century was that we could fight on a lot of issues, but boy, we knew how to pull together and solve the big problems. Whether it was the world wars, or going to the moon, or race relations and civil rights, we could work across lines together to solve them, and that has been lost. And it has been lost because there are people who encourage us to be weak and divided because they continue to make money doing it. Whether it is foreign countries that hate us but still want us to buy their oil, whether it is Wall Street companies that like the fact that the dollar is unfairly high against the Chinese currency so they can make extraordinary profits by shipping our jobs overseas, whether it is a pharmaceutical industry that charges you many times more, even when you're desperate and hard to make your budget, many times more for the medication you need to stay out of the hospital or stay alive. And people won't take them on. They will not take them on. Congressman Terry, I am very concerned about your relationship with lobbyists. On June 14th of this year, on congressional letterhead, you wrote a constituent that said you never took any money from Wall Street bankers. And that is simply not true, Congressman. You have taken hundreds of thousands of dollars. You have taken money from Citibank, Wells Fargo, from First American Bank, from every major Wall Street corporation, and you have voted for them. I will vote for you, ladies and gentlemen, not special interests.
Lee Terry?
Unemployment rate is 9.6%. Many others are underemployed. We need to make sure that we grow our economy so these people can put bread on their table. This isn't numbers. These are families. And we have to grow the economy, quit villainizing the job creators. And that's what we've heard today by my opponent. We have to reduce spending. Spending, government spending, is taking dollars out of the private sector in a slowing job creation. We need a balanced budget. My opponent voted against balanced budgets in the Nebraska legislature. I fought for budgets that would balance the budget. Spending, he overrode the governor's vetoes and put the balanced budget out of whack. Balanced budget amendment, I've wrote one. I want that to be one of the first things we do next year. Energy independence has been one of my goals, which is why I wrote an all-of-the-above energy with Democrats and Republicans that use all of our natural resources so we don't have to import 14 million barrels per day. And that $0.75 trillion that goes to foreign countries would stay in the United States, creating real, good, high-paying manufacturing jobs. Yes, we need education reform so that we can make sure that our kids, my sons, your children and grandchildren, have the tools necessary to compete in a global economy. The questions here that face the Omaha voters is that if you think we are on the right direction in this country, then vote for my opponent. If you think Nancy Pelosi needs more support and votes in the United States House of Representatives, then vote for my opponent. But if you have had enough of this, if you are tired of the spending, if you want Congress to have some discipline and quit growing government and empower the individual and small businesses, then I would appreciate your vote on November 2nd.
That concludes our debate. A round of applause for the candidates, please.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. We've heard a debate between the two candidates for Congress from Nebraska's 2nd Congressional District, incumbent Republican Lee Terry, and his challenger, Democrat Tom White. This event was co-sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Greater Omaha and the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, October 14, 2010, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee and the League of Women Voters of Greater Omaha for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be Thursday, November 18th at 12 noon. At that time, the Omaha Press Club will present a tour of the Institute for the Culinary Arts at Metropolitan Community College. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of previous broadcasts, and podcasts of selected Noon Forum programs are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.